Well, Exodus chapter 28 this morning. Last week, if you were here, we read through the entire chapter of Exodus chapter 28, and you guys were so patient with me. I really appreciate that. So this morning, we're not going to be reading the whole chapter again, but we're just going to take a look at a few verses here in chapter 28 and just do a little recap. So, as you know from last week, we saw that Aaron, the high priest, is a picture of and a type of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who the Bible says daily lives to make intercession for you and for me. But in our story last week, as we saw, Aaron, the high priest, he was to carry the names of the people of Israel on his shoulders and on his heart. And that's how it is with our great high priest, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And he too bears our burdens. He carries our burdens for us. The Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But not only does he bear our burdens for us, but he truly does care for you and me. You are on his heart 24/7. Just as Aaron carried the names of the people on his shoulders and his heart, so too you are on the Heavenly Father's heart all the time. He cares for you. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 40, verse 5, that his thoughts towards you, his thoughts toward me, they cannot be recounted. They are so many. They are more than can be numbered. Oh, how he loves us. Man. So Aaron, a picture and a type of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. But again, as we looked at last week, there's a lesson for us as well in all of this. For you see, as we talked about last time in Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I also have the privilege of being priests. We have the privilege of bringing people to the Lord and lifting others up to the Lord in prayer and bearing one another's burdens. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens, even as Aaron bore the names of the children of Israel on his shoulders. So too, you and I get to do the same thing for others. But then we saw that as good and important as those things are, as bearing one another's burdens, lifting them up before the Lord in prayer, we saw that our primary duty as a priest, our primary duty is to, as verse 1 says in chapter 28, to minister unto the Lord. To minister unto the Lord. And you see, if we neglect our primary ministry, then we'll become burned out and ineffective in other areas of ministry. So our primary ministry is just to sit at the feet of the Lord, just as Mary did in the Gospels. She sat at the feet of the Lord. She just ministered unto the Lord. But you see, this morning, I would like to talk to you about another aspect of all this. As one who ministers before the Lord and then to others. You see, it's important that we be those who receive direction and instruction from the Lord. And I believe that there's a really good lesson here in chapter 28 for receiving direction and instruction from the Lord. You see, take a look at verse 30 here in chapter 28. Look there with me, if you will. Exodus 28, verse 30 says, "And in the breastpiece of judgment, you shall put the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be on Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. Thus Aaron shall bear the judgment of the people of Israel on his heart before the Lord regularly." The word judgment here in verse 30, it refers to the decision-making process. And the words Urim and Thummim, they mean lights and perfection, or light and perfection. And the Greek translation of this passage here really means truth and manifestation. So these stones, these two stones, the Urim and the Thummim, they were placed on the chest, on the breastpiece, over Aaron's heart. The Urim and the Thummim, they mean lights and perfection. And the translation again means truth and manifestation. So we cannot really be sure how these things really worked. We're not exactly sure. But it appears to be that whenever the children of Israel needed guidance, whenever they needed direction, that they would come before the high priest and ask the high priest for direction. And these stones, these two stones called the Urim and the Thummim, would supposedly light up in such a way or do something to give direction from the Lord for the people of Israel. Pretty cool. Now you say, well, why can't it be like that today? Josh, why can't a person like me come to the high priest today or come to a pastor today? And why can't we have it just set up the exact same way? If I need direction, I need guidance, I can come to the pastor and we can have these stones and say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do here? I've got this problem. I've got this dilemma. I don't know what to do. Let's go look at the stones. Let's go look at the Urim and the Thummim. And why can't we just do that and have these stones light up in such a particular way that the Lord would, it would just be so easy, you would say. Well, it seems like it would be. But you see, if it were really the same way as it was back then, it's really wouldn't be as easy as that. You see, the people of Israel, they couldn't just phone in to the high priest. They couldn't send a text message like we do so easily today. They couldn't send an email. They would have to, and in their day and age, you know, most of them grew crops or had farms. They would have to leave their crops or their farms. They would have to leave their families. And again, they couldn't just hop in their car. They had to travel by foot. And of course, if the weather was bad, that was even harder. Or if it was really hot, that was more difficult. And sometimes they wouldn't be just traveling a mile or so. Some of them would have to travel many miles to get to the high priest. So there was this deal where they had to travel a long ways. But not only did they have to travel and leave their families behind or their businesses behind, they also had this problem of, well, you see, if they got there and their problem was not, well, important enough to be seen, well, they would be told, well, you can't be seen, your problem's not important enough. You see, the Urim and the Thummim, they were to be consulted, if you will, for only matters that were of extreme importance. Okay? So the people would have to travel a ways, and if their problems weren't important enough, it would be put on the back burner. Okay? But you see, today, it's much better, actually, because God desires to speak to you and I in a way that's much better than through a few stones that light up. And that's what I want to share with you just briefly this morning. You see, God speaks to us in a number of ways. Three ways I want to share with you this morning. He speaks to your heart. He speaks through, number two, His church. And number three, He speaks through His word. He speaks to your heart through His church and through His word. Number one, He speaks to your heart. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, jot it down. Or if you've got your Bibles, underline this verse. Jeremiah 31, verse 33, it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God says, hey, this is the new covenant that I'm going to make with my people. And this is for us this morning. Not just the children of Israel, but this is for you and me as well. God has made a new covenant. No longer do we have to go to a high priest. No longer do the sacrifices of old have to be made. For Jesus died on the cross. The sacrifice was made. The price for sin paid once and for all. And now He has made a new covenant with us. And He writes His law on the inward parts of our hearts. He speaks to our hearts. Pretty cool. What are the desires that God has placed on your heart? The Bible says in Psalm 37:4, to delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's pretty cool. If you are one this morning who says, yeah, I love the Lord, I'm delighting myself in the Lord, then guess what? If there's a desire on your heart, go do it. But if you're here this morning and you say, you know, I'm not really one who delights in the Lord, then listen carefully. Do not, I repeat, do not follow the desires of your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. But, again, if you are delighting yourself in the Lord, man, and He's placed some desires on your heart, go for it. Follow the desires of your heart. That's how He speaks to you. One of the ways He speaks to your heart through this thing we call the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, 33. Number two, He speaks through His church. How so? Well, just like in our story with these two stones, the Urim and the Thummim, God's word tells us that His body, you guys, are like living stones. You all are living stones. The book of Hebrews tells us to not forsake the gathering together, as is the manner of some. You see, God desires to not only speak to you in your heart, but He desires to speak to you through the body of Christ, the church, living stones. And one of the ways, actually, that He confirms the things that are on your heart are through the body of Christ. You may have something on your heart and feel like God is really directing you in a certain way, and then go to church and be talking to another brother or sister, and that very thing, they might not know anything about it, or they could, but that very thing you have a desire on your heart for could be confirmed through the body of Christ. And so God uses His body to speak to you and me. Number three, He speaks through His word. Again, His word is alive and powerful. It's not just any other book. This is the word of God. It is inspired by Him, God breathed. Psalm 119 tells us that His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You want to receive direction from the Lord, instruction from Him? Be one who spends time in His word. What's God been putting on your heart through devotions? As you've been reading through His word, or spending quiet time with Him in the mornings or the evenings, what's God been putting on your heart? He speaks to your heart. He speaks through His church, and He speaks through His word. But here's the deal, we're almost done. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." If you want to be one who hears from the Lord, then you need to also have a heart of expectancy. You guys staying with me? We're almost done. Have a heart of expectancy. Don't be like the one who James says here, who comes to the Lord and or offers up a prayer, but then really doesn't believe that anything is going to happen, or who doubts in his heart. For the Bible says here that that man should not expect anything from the Lord, for he's a double-minded man. We need to be those who have a heart of expectancy. Can you truly say when you come to the Lord, when you're looking for guidance, when you're looking for direction, that you have a heart of expectancy? I will admit, sometimes it is hard. Sometimes I can be so easily tempted to pray or to offer my request unto the Lord, but then doubt in my heart and think, well, that's probably not going to happen. But I did my duty. I offered it to the Lord. I should not be that way. That's what God's word says I should not do here. I need to be one who casts my cares upon him, but then I need to be one who has a heart of expectancy as well. To be one who gives thanks to the Lord even before anything has ever happened. Because even at that very moment when you offer up a prayer unto the Lord, did you know that God is working? You might not see anything, but God is working. Okay? Have a heart of expectancy when you come before him. When you open the word, have a heart of expectancy. When you come to church and you're around the living stones, have a heart of expectancy to hear from the Lord. When you do your primary duty as a priest to minister unto the Lord, to sit at his feet, have a heart of expectancy. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. But then one last thing. If you really want to be one who hears from the Lord as well, are you really ready to do what he asks you to do? Are you ready to obey? Because you see, if you're not ready to obey, then he's not going to speak to you. And it's not because he's mean, but it's simply because he knows your heart. He knows that you're not ready to obey what he is going to tell you. And so if he were to tell you and give you direction, knowing that you're not going to listen to him, knowing that you're not going to obey, then he knows that you would be walking in disobedience. And our loving Heavenly Father does not want you and me to be walking in disobedience. So he says, okay. Because he's a loving Father, he'll just hold back and won't speak. But that's not his heart. He desires to speak to your heart. But we need to be those who say, okay. Okay, Lord, no matter what it is you want to say to me, I'm going to obey. Lord, my desire is for you, to please you, not to please anybody else, but to please you. So, gang, this morning, know this, the Lord desires to speak to your hearts. Be those who spend time in the Word, ministering unto him. He wants to speak to your hearts. He'll speak through the body of Christ, perhaps even now this morning, or perhaps even when we're done, you'll receive a word from the Lord from somebody else in this place. And he desires to speak through his Word. Be those who have a heart of expectancy. And say, Lord, okay, I'm ready, no matter what, to obey you. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, that you desire to speak to us in these different ways, Lord. Lord, would you apply these things to our hearts, to our lives this morning? Draw us near to you, Lord, near to your heart. Lord, if there be anything in the way keeping us from hearing you, Lord, I pray that you would take those things away. Lord, we lay down our lives once again at the foot of the cross, and we commit our lives to you, Lord. Lastly, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if If you're here this morning and you would like to hear from the Lord, you want to know Him, but maybe you don't know Him. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. He is just here waiting for you to give your life to Him. And perhaps the Holy Spirit is even tugging at the strings of your heart even now, speaking to you even now here in this place, saying, give your life to me. If that's you this morning and you feel that tugging on your heart with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, I want you just to make eye contact with me. Just look up and make eye contact with me. Say, okay. Lord, you know, you see who's looked up, and I pray, Lord, that you would fill us afresh now, Lord. We ask, we invite you into our lives and to our hearts now. And we commit our lives to you, and we ask that as we go through the week, Lord, that you would use us to be lights for you. That even as we have learned in Exodus 28, that we would be those who bear one another's burdens, lifting others to you. Lord, we give you thanks, we give you praise this morning, for you are a great and awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Have a good week.